This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com, or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
We all consume so much from the arts sector every day. We stream shows, listen to music, go to the theatre, stream a podcast. But how much importance does the government place on a sector that entertains us all every day? Anthony Albanese has just launched a new national cultural policy called Revive. What is it and will it help? Here to tell us more is Joe Corst, Associate Professor and Principal Fellow at School of Culture and Communications at the University of Melbourne. Joe, welcome to Joe Drive.
Thank you, Emily.
Thanks so much for joining us. Firstly, Joe, what is a cultural policy and have we had one before?
Yes, we've had a couple before. We had one under Paul Keating in the 90s and another one called Creative Australia in 2013. The first one was called Creative Nation and this one is called Creative Australia and this one is called Revive. So this is the third one.
So what does this cultural policy have that the others didn't, perhaps?
Well, I think that it's a more inclusive. It's really emphasising the importance of First Nations culture. The language is written in a more friendly tone, I think. The policy starts off with a intro by Christos Sialakis and Claire Wright, which is a place for every story, a story for every place, which is the undertitle of the policy as well. And that really is a very nicely written piece that really describes why it's important to have a cultural policy.
Joe, why is it important to have a policy like this?
I knew you'd ask you that.
The important thing is, same question.
is that a cultural policy is a policy that's all-encompassing. It's not just about the arts. It's about culture in the broadest sense. And it's important to acknowledge the various cultures that exist in our country. We are a multicultural country, so there are lots of different ways people have of expressing their culture and expressing their arts practice. Culture affects every part of our lives, really. It's not, as you pointed out at the introduction, that we all experience arts practice every day, but also culture informs how we understand the world, what our beliefs are, what our habits are in all sorts of ways. It affects our approach to education, to the way we live our lives, our social interactions. It has an enormous impact in every way, and really it's kind of central to what we believe or what we understand as our identity.
Absolutely. Do you think the arts have been a priority to our most recent governments?
No, in short terms. The arts have had a rough time, really. For quite a couple of decades. The previous Labor government that lost power in 2013 promised to restore funding and do all sorts of things for the arts, but they left it too late in their time in government. And by the time they released their document in 2013, it only was around for 3 or 4 months before they lost government. And the coalition government came in and wasn't interested in that document or interested in the policies by the Labor government. Sadly, under the coalition governments, the arts have been somewhat of a centre of conflict and also disregard. So I think they see a cultural policy as somehow a symptom of a big brother mentality, rather than seeing it as an affirming kind of statement about how government views the arts and culture. The arts sector has had a massive drop in funding and had to deal with all sorts of crises, particularly with the pandemic hitting and closing everything that was happening. So the arts have had a a rough time. And for whatever reason, the coalition governments over the past 7 or 8 years weren't really enamored with the arts and didn't really respect the nature of arts practice and the fact that it requires a lot of skill and work to achieve high standards.
So this is a step in the right direction. We're chatting to Jo Corst, Associate Professor and Principal Fellow at School of Culture and Communications, University of Melbourne, about Australia's new national cultural policy. I did just say it's a step in the right direction, which I will get to in a moment. But one of the things that this particular policy says and has, you know, an importance on is Australian stories being told on streaming platforms in particular. Do we know how the changes that the policy suggests are actually like that one about streaming will actually be implemented?
Well, that's a big one, and it's going to take quite a lot of work from the government to ensure that occurs, because the streaming companies that are not based here will be pushing back over that issue. But they are determined to address it, and I think that's great, because Australians pay, you know, lots of money for various streaming services.
Absolutely.
And access them. But the streamers don't necessarily do any work that has any relevance to Australian culture. So I think it's really important that the government addresses that. They have got Australian content regulations in place for the broadcasters who are based in Australia, such as the ABC, SBS, and of course the commercial producers. But the streaming services have been not included so far, and yet, of course, the their presence on the waves is huge. So it is important that they are addressed in terms of Australian content.
Absolutely. Jo, it does seem, you know, when you put it against basically a nothing, this policy is a positive step forward. But what do you think could be done to support the art sector even more than, say, this policy?
Well, the government is promising to address it. There are a couple of major issues that are not included in the policy. One is the national cultural institutions that have all been rather underfunded for several years and are suffering in various ways so that they're not able to do their work. The National Gallery of Australia, for instance, has a leaky roof and has all sorts of problems with protecting the work that's in that institution. The National Library is saying that it hasn't got the money to fund Trove, which is an incredibly important research base that they offer. So there's lots of problems with the national institutions, and however, at this point in time, there's no additional funding or promises in relation to it. The other important area that hasn't really seriously been addressed is the whole living conditions of artists and art workers generally. While the government has promised a new centre for employment to be located with the Australia Council, that will bring issues around employment, that doesn't follow that it's able to address the fact that artists basically earn less than or live on wages that are below the poverty line and really struggle to make a decent living, right, even when they're, you know, serious, mature artists who've been working for several years. So I think that is an issue that the government has to take on board and look at how they can make the lives of artists better.
Absolutely. So there's still some holes, but, you know, we are making steps, I guess, in a positive direction.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Jo, yeah. Thank you so much for unpacking that policy and also for joining us on Jo Drive.
My pleasure.
That's Jo Corst, Associate Professor and Principal Fellow at the School of Culture and Communications at the University of Melbourne.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.